Plenty of text still coming in about Diesel. Just heard a Diesel spill in Mernda as well in the news. So Diesel's been on the agenda all morning, and we'll come back to your calls and your texts very shortly. One here that I do want to read out from Alison, and keep your text coming, 0433 98 11 16 on the Speckle text. Or your calls, 1300 736 736, the open line for Werribee Kia. Hi, Dwayne, do you think Fox Footy will show any repeats of the really crap games? It's easy to have rose-coloured glasses when they're only showing the best games from the past. Cheers, Alison. And you raise a really good point. Not all the games were covered back in, you know, the 70s and 80s. You got the best game, the match of the week, the match of the round. Not all the games were broadcast. So the bad games played between the poorer teams weren't shown. So they're not on video. They're not on tape. So we're not going to see the worst of the worst. We're only seeing the best of the best from those early decades. And then when you cross into the last, probably, you know, two decades ago, and the decade just gone, we won't be showing any of the probably bad games. So it does show the game up to be, you know, a beautiful game played in the 80s, a beautiful game played in the 90s. But if we took a selection of the very worst games and put them on, if they were available because they were videoed, you'd probably think, oh, boy, isn't our game better today? So I agree with you, Alison. We're cherry-picking at Fox. We're putting all the good ones on, but because no one really wants to see the bad ones, do we? Dwayne's word for Robot Building Supplies. They've got it at Robot Building Supplies, and they deliver at robotbuildingsupplies.com.au. And we're powered by Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. Let's cross to the US. It's going to be massive. Friday is going to be the NFL draft. It's going to be live on television here, but it's expected to be, given the situation we're in with coronavirus, the biggest TV audience for an NFL draft in the history of NFL drafts. It might even be that way outside of the US. There might be a lot of people outside of the US watching it, especially with the news today. It's kind of put the NFL back on the front pages of all the US papers, even in this coronavirus era, where the front pages are, rightly so, full of coronavirus stuff. The report that Rob Gronkowski has gone to Tampa Bay to join Tom Brady. Here's the Ian Rappaport announcement.
Rob Gronkowski has informed New England that he would like to come back and play football, but for the Bucs and Tom Brady. Multiple sources tell me this is something that has been swirling around the last 24 hours, and Gronk actually could have something official in the form of an announcement fairly soon. In order for this to happen, a trade would have to be worked out between the two teams. The reason why is Gronk is still under contract with the Patriots.
So there it is, the announcement that Rob Gronkowski is going to Tampa Bay. We'll talk some more Aussie sport very shortly, but let's quickly cross to the US. John Lediard from the Pewter Report covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the NFL draft. And it's going to be a pretty interesting NFL draft. Even the picks one and two, Chase Young, Joe Burrows, depends on who you like most as to who you think right now should be one or two. It's going to be interesting to see who is pulled out with pick number one. The order of the draft, Cincinnati Bengals, Washington Redskins, Detroit Lions, New York Giants and Miami with pick five, LA Chargers pick six. John, thanks a lot for your time. Great to have you on the program.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I presume that that the coronavirus is still the front 10 pages of every paper around the US because it rightly needs to be. But the Rob Gronkowski story is going to get a little line on most front pages as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this time of year, you know, you're always going to have reaction to news like that. But right now, given the situation and everything with everybody just kind of looking for something to get excited about in the news, you know, I think, you know, something like that happens and immediately, you know, social media and things like that become a buzz and everybody's got a take and an opinion and stuff like that. And so it's fun because we need that right now this time of year. But somebody who's covered the Bucks for about 3 months now. it's that, you know, a lot of years covering the NFL, but covering the Bucs for about 3 months. It's been a whirlwind of 3 months with Tom Brady, the new uniforms, Rob Gronkowski. It's a good time to have landed in the spot that I'm in.
Now, there's a lot of Australians that don't care about the NFL, don't watch the NFL. I'm probably wondering why we've allocated space to the NFL on this program and do it so often. But there are a lot of Aussies that are pretty excited about the draft coming up. I presume it's going to be one of those events in America where it's the distraction America needs for a little while.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think you're exactly right when you said it'll probably be the most watched NFL draft in history. I mean, it probably will be. And there's also more outlets than ever before doing and covering the NFL draft to want to some extent, doing more live shows. The draft has kind of grown in popularity really over the last 10 years a lot, but the last 5 years, it's just skyrocketed here. So, you know, it might have been the most watched draft anyway, but add the situation to it and the fact that almost everybody will be at home and, you know, be in the evenings. And, you know, it's just kind of this perfect storm of events where you kind of, you know, for a rating sake anyway, you know, you're going to get a ton of eyeballs on the NFL draft. And I think, yeah, you talk about alleviating spirits and, you know, helping people. I mean, look at the Michael Jordan documentary that dropped here, you know, just kind of the other day was 6 million viewers or something like that at average, and just crazy numbers for a non-live sporting event. So that's the kind of audience you're looking at right now. People just, they're dying for sports, and you're going to have people that normally wouldn't pay that much attention to the draft. And I know because I cover it, I talk to those people on social media and such, and now they're all into it, and they're excited, and they, you know, can't wait to kind of get into this thing for the first time. So it's going to be fun. I mean, it'll be nice to have it. Afterward, I think people will be in withdrawal, but it'll be a fun 2 days.
And just on the Jordan documentary, as a sideline, how did that go numbers-wise compared to Tiger King? Is Tiger King still beating it hands down for the number one watched in the last month?
I think Tiger King is, yeah, but actually I haven't looked to compare the two. It's funny that those two shows would be what we're talking about, because one is awesome, and you know, I think you would have a hard time finding people to say it wouldn't be awesome in the Jordan documentary. And then Tiger King, I'm not sure people watch it and really know how to describe it, but they watch it anyway. So
the remote nature of this draft, all the teams are in their remote locations, so there's not this big extravaganza that we normally see where everyone is in the one giant auditorium and the players that are up for draft are dressed in, you know, these crazy elaborate suits and suit coats and the jewelry flowing. It's going to be a little bit different this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a totally different process with everybody kind of, you know, teams aren't even, you know, collectively in their spaces like they would be at their facilities, you know, because every team's facility has been, you know, mandated to be closed down as well because of the coronavirus. So you'll have general managers kind of literally at their homes, you know, with setups and internet and all that connecting them to kind of everybody else. But they will be making those selections. I mean, a lot of times, like from their dining room, their living room, their office at home. So in Goodell will be announcing the picks. The NFL commissioner will be announcing the picks from his basement. It's wild. I mean, it's not a process that anyone really obviously could have envisioned. But even when all this started going down, it was just kind of like, this is going to get pushed back. There's no way they're going to keep the draft on schedule. And, you know, they'll push it back a month. But they've just kept it on schedule and just been determined to do this thing. So it's going to be a totally different process than normal. We're going to see how technologically savvy and prepared these teams are for what's kind of going to be thrown at them in terms of everything being remote, and how well they communicate as a group with everybody being, you know, the scouts and the coaches and everybody being in different locations as well for this. So there's a lot of unknowns, and that part of the process is a big reason why it'll be so watched and there will be so much attention to it, because everybody wants to see how this thing's going to go down.
So the guys like Chase Young and Joe Burrow, they'll be, what, in their lounge rooms or the kitchens at home with their family, and when they get chosen, we'll see them being hugged by family members. Is that the way it's going to go?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Chase Young was on a show the other day, and he was saying that he's having, I think you can have 10 people in your home, so we'll have 10 family members in his home, and then he's setting up like a big projector outside in an outside area that they have set up for people to be able to space out and kind of watch from outside and communicate through the windows, and just, you know, it's weird stuff, but it's kind of where we're at right now. So that seems to be his setup. Not sure what Joe Burrow's planning to do, but I think, yeah, that'll be how most prospects approach it, is that, you know, they'll be careful about making sure they're following guidelines. But I think, yeah, they're planning on doing something at least to celebrate. It just won't be quite as elaborate as it normally would be.
So who will be the number one pick, do you think? And who will the Washington Redskins take as pick two?
It seems like the draft really is going to start at pick number three, because Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati, a virtual lock, and Chase Young from Ohio State, going to Washington is also a virtual lock. Redskins, they'll do their due diligence. They'll listen to trade down offers at number two. You know, they've scouted the quarterbacks just in case they want to take one of them. You know, they've scouted the corner, Jeffrey Okuda, the top corner in the class. They've looked at their trade down options. They'll continue to weigh those. But I really think unless they get some compelling, crazy offer, they're going to take Chase Young, add another pass rusher to that group. Their defensive line is going to be really, really good. They're going to be able to get up to the quarterback a ton. Now it's about building up the rest of their roster, but I think that's the direction they're going to go. And then at number three, the draft will really start. I think everyone will be kind of surprised if Burrow and Young aren't the first two picks. And then at three, I think people lean Jeffrey Okuda, the corner from Ohio State, going to Detroit. But there is speculation out there that Derek Brown, defensive tackle from Auburn, could be the choice, or the Lions could potentially trade back to five and maybe get either one of those two players and add a couple more picks, and the Dolphins could come up to three for a quarterback. So still some options on the table, but the intrigue really probably starts at number three.
So I presume Burrow and the Bengals have already organized to have Bengals gear sent to Burrow's house. So when he does go pick one, he just produces the Bengals jersey and he puts that on, and we have the big photo on the internet moment.
Right, I think that'll probably be how it goes down. And, you know, what a crazy turn of events for Cincinnati at the beginning of the year. You know, people didn't think Cincinnati would be good, but they didn't think they'd be the worst team in the league. And everybody knew they'd be looking for a quarterback. Miami was actively trying to tank and could not get lower than the fifth pick, even despite that, those efforts. So it kind of the way it unfolded was just incredible luck for Cincinnati, because the season that Burrow just had is unbelievable. Season in college football, and came out of nowhere, established himself as clearly the best quarterback in this draft, and one of the better quarterbacks I think we've seen in a long time in this draft. So Cincinnati, not exactly the most heralded franchise over the years, but they're about to get a gem of a quarterback prospect and have a lot of insurance at the most important position of the game. So it will be very interesting to see if that finally takes that team in a new direction, because they have not won a playoff game, I don't think, since before the turn of the century. And so it's going to be a big step in the right direction for them, and they've needed it for a long time.
What's the best we could hope for with Tampa Bay with Gronkowski and Brady?
I mean, I think Super Bowl's on the table, certainly. I'm not going to say they're the best team in the NFC. You know, we're going to see how Brady bounces back from last season. Very little of that was his fault. But at the same time, at his age, you're always kind of wondering, is there going to be a decline? That can happen. And Gronk's been away from the game for a year and really wasn't himself in 2018 either, because he was banged up, but really seems like he's in much better shape, and you know, the physical went well, and doesn't seem like there's any lingering injury concerns. I think for him, a big part of the reason he stepped away was to get away from the game in general. I think he was not in a great place with the game. He's talked about mental health and stuff like that. So I think, you know, that was a big part of it for him. So if those guys are on point, I mean, that's obviously huge additions, because Tampa Bay already had a pretty good roster. I mean, they were in the playoff conversation playing really good football down the second half of the season last year, and Jameis Winston just kept throwing interceptions and lost them in two of their final games of the season, and it was really, that was a kind of nails in the coffin with those two games. But, you know, the rest of the team, the young defense, young secondary, the defensive line, the offensive line are starting to gel. You know, the receivers got banged up a little bit, but they had the depth guys kind of emerge. So it was really, everything else was kind of coming together, and the quarterback play was really what bogged them down late in the season. So if Tom Brady can even be more stable than Jameis Winston, you know, and if that's a low bar, I think the Bucs will be an even better team. But if he can be, you know, Tom Brady, even an older version of Tom Brady, good, you know, then I think that this team can absolutely contend in the playoffs. You know, playoffs, not getting a playoff spot would be a massive disappointment. But even if you get to the playoffs, you know, I think this team that can compete. Certainly, the big question marks are going to be how well does their offensive line play, and what are they able to add to that offensive line in the draft, and then how well does their young secondary play? A lot of second and third year players in their secondary. In fact, the whole unit, even the depth guys, are almost all second and third year players who've played well to this point in their careers, you know, relatively well. But we don't have any star potential. There's no like veteran, you know, who you can count on or anything. So it's still a very young group. It's going to have to gel together. But everywhere else on the team right now, they look really good. And the other concern would be depth. I think they're not very deep in many positions on their team. But I think it's a really good roster. You know, I think it's a good depth chart. I don't know if it's the best in the NFC. The NFC, you know, really competitive even in their division. The Saints are probably the best roster in the NFL. So they've got a lot of work to do to get through the NFC. In the AFC, I would feel a little more comfortable saying they're a top two or three team in the conference. But in the NFC, it's a little bit tougher. So they'll have to work out for them, but should at least be a playoff team for sure.
Talking to John Lediard from the Pewter Report, covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the NFL draft. Before I let you go, John, I've noticed, and I see this in the US, you're noticing it, I'm sure, as well. When you have journalists on Skype, when you have journalists in their office or their lounge room, there seems to be this backdrop thing, the background thing. Who's got the most trophies wins?
I don't know. That backdrop thing has been interesting, actually. It's been kind of one of the fun side conversations to come out of, you know, this time where everything's different, it seems, right now. There's actually a guy who was a former wide receiver in Florida, Chris Doering, who's on SiriusXM now, radio, and I was talking to him the other day, and his backdrop is pretty amazing. He's got the Florida jerseys out there and a couple different colors and lots of just cool knickknacks and stuff like that on his desk. So he'd be my sleeper pick, I think, for one of the best I've seen. But Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, who you just played the clip from, he's got kind of a classic one. You see it all season long, but I think it's just a really good layout. So I don't know. There's a lot of thoughts and opinions out there. Those are my two cents there.
Yeah, I watched our own Delta Goodrum play, you know, after Lady Gaga and everybody did in the big competition. I kind of tapped my hat off to the Rolling Stones. They could have, well, there wouldn't have been enough room in their rooms to put all their Grammys. Stevie Wonder didn't have any of his Grammys behind him, and yet some wanted to load up behind themselves. I'm not sure whether all of the awards behind some of the artists were theirs.
I can't even make out the awards behind some of these guys and what they have posted up. I think a lot of them just kind of opt for the, you know, some of the ex-players probably have their jerseys and some of that stuff up, but a lot of the guys in, you know, just in the media field that have never played before, they just kind of opt for, you know, team helmets and great, you know, sports images and stuff like that, books behind them and things like that, rather than kind of going the awards route. But it would be interesting to see who's able to put up the most trophies behind them right now. Maybe it would have been Gronkowski with his three Super Bowl titles, but now he's back on the playing field, so I don't know if he qualifies.
Yeah, no one reads all those books anyway, on those bookshelves behind them. And sometimes this person with the best house wins. You've got to have your best house backdrop of all time. Great to have a chat to you. John, we'll talk to you again soon. Good luck with the draft, and hopefully it pans out the way you've explained it.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.